All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, off-season week, I guess week three edition of the show here. So thank you for joining us. We're in that dead period right now where, you know, we're still looking ahead to free agency. The draft is even further beyond that. There is not a combine, which I think that would have been this week, if I'm not mistaken, where everybody would have been in Indianapolis starting to have a look at 40 times and vertical jumps and all the things that come with it, which I always enjoy watching on television. And, you know, they might call it the Underwear Olympics kind of derisively, but I never cared about that. It's good quality programming. So we don't have that this year. And, you know, we're in that time right now where, and the Bucks have an afterglow of the Super Bowl that we're working with, so that's cool. But for everybody else, just kind of seeing what's going to happen here. So we're going to talk today about the Bucks' potential next moves or what we think should be their next moves in order to get ready for free agency and all the things that will go into building what will be the 2021 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we'll play off a little bit of what we talked about last week with all that and everything else. So there's also a new TV deal that's getting signed, which isn't going to change all that much, but we'll talk a little bit about that because there are a couple minor things that are going to change. But the basic structure of how we consume the NFL as TV viewers, which, you know, there was a chance that might change quite a bit, doesn't look like it's going to be changing. We'll talk about Russell Wilson and the potential of leaving the Seahawks and all those other things. So thanks again for joining us. The Free Stretch, like it always is, here on JoeBucksFan.com, brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. If you were looking for a vehicle of any kind, whether it's new, pre-owned, used, whatever it is, all you have to do, well, you got two options. Go to BillCurryFord.com, C-U-R-R-I-E, is how they spell it. Now, with BillCurryFord.com, you'll see everything they got on the website there. And if you like something, they'll bring it to you. And not just if you buy it, they'll bring something to you that you want to test drive. If it's something you're curious about and you want to have a look, your home, your office, wherever, they'll deliver it to you. You can have a look. If you want to go in person, that's always a great idea to see everything on the lot. And it's a huge lot, huge showroom. Everything is COVID safe over there, plenty of space. They're a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. And that's where they've been serving the Tampa Bay area for 60 years now. If you get a car, whether it's, again, pre-owned, used, new, online, in person, whatever, nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty. Engine trouble? Bring it in. A year from now? 5 years from now? Doesn't matter. You're the one that bought it from Bill Curry Ford. You can bring it back in. You are covered under the warranty. That on top of 10 years roadside assistance and on top of the first year free service with oil changes and all that stuff. It's all there for you. BillCurryFord.com. Again, C-U-R-R-I-E, or go see them a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. So thanks to them for always taking care of the Free Stretch. Thanks to Joe Bucks Fan for giving me this platform. And Joe Bucks Fan's been red hot this week with the Sage Ira Kaufman pumping out shows. I think he's done two or three talking about some things the Bucks ought to be looking to do. And of course, Joe Bucks Fan, no matter when, it doesn't have to be in season. In fact, it's even more active this time of year if you go check out the website. So what I wanted to look at today, you know, I was thinking about the Bucks free agency type stuff, and I actually had a family get-together earlier this week and saw a bunch of members of my family that I don't see that often. And so I was talking with a few of them about the Bucks, and, you know, they all know about the show. They're like, hey, Bobby, you know, what's going to happen with the Big Eight? Or really the Big Seven. I don't think Fournette, you know, is very likely to come back, and I don't think it's that big of a deal. But, you know, what else are they going to do? How are they going to figure this cap thing out? You hear this a lot in sports, and you know, the more I was thinking about it over the years past, and other instances this has come up, when a team is up against the cap, oh my God, they're in cap hell. Oh my God, they've barely got any cap space. Oh my God, they're going to have to blow it all up. How are they going to do this? Yeah, you know, you hear that a lot. Doesn't it seem like it always gets pretty well figured out? And by figured out, I don't mean they're going to keep every single person. But I just mean nothing jaw-dropping is going to happen where we're like, oh my God, they've lost. These things always seem to get figured out one way or the other. And the NFL offers even more creativity in that department than other sports do. I know we had the Lightning in the same situation coming off their Stanley Cup win a few months ago as they got ready for the current season that's underway right now. And it was the same thing. Oh my God, the Lightning, what are they going to do? They might have won the cup. I mean, I don't know, man. That looks like the end of the road for them because they're just not going to be able to figure out what happened. And in their case, something came up that they didn't necessarily want, but it also did have a side effect that helped them. Nikita Kucherov needed surgery. He's going to miss the regular season, and they can defer his cap space. They still pay him, but he doesn't count against their cap, and that kind of made things all of a sudden work out pretty well. They also moved a couple of guys, nobody major, and they figured it out, basically. And you see that all the time, and I think the same thing will happen with the Buccaneers. And one of the things we were talking about, you know, like I said, the big eight free agents and really big seven. So who you got? You got Lavonte David. You got Shaq Barrett. You've got Gronkowski, Antonio Brown. I'm trying to think off the top of my head here. Godwin, of course. And there were a couple of other ones. Oh, Suckup was one. I think, is that seven? Can't remember. I think I mentioned all seven. If I left one out, I apologize. But anyway, all these guys. And, you know, looking at the roster, and I already had Mike Evans say he'll do it. Tom Brady could be doing it. You know, the way they do this, you don't have to be a cap expert to understand it, but the basic way it works is if you add extra years to people's contracts, I'm talking about other people who are already signed by the Bucs, basically that allows you to convert what would have been 2021 salary money into signing bonus money, and that gets prorated over multiple seasons instead of all counting toward this season. So just to clear up one misconception, because I've heard a lot of people saying, hey, you think guys are going to be willing to restructure their deals and willing to take less money and take that bullet for the team? You think they'll do that, Bobby? It's important to note that from a player perspective, they're not giving up anything. In fact, in many cases, they're getting money, the same money they would have been getting anyway, sooner, but not less. And it's just, again, it's a restructure is something that, from a player standpoint, does not hurt them. I think a lot of people think, oh man, this guy's going to have to, you know, fall on the sword for the team and restructure his deal just so they can sign someone else. And what if he's not willing to do that? And it's not like that. It's basically, I think it's kind of, I mean, if it was up to me, I'd make the rules just as black and white as possible. To me, literally what you write out in paychecks from, you know, calendar day of whatever and the next year from that, that's your salary cap number. Like, that's how, but they can let you call this roster bonus, call this salary, call this signing bonus, and even though you paid it to them today, it's pro. I think that just makes it more convoluted than it needs to be. I draw a line, you know, whatever you say, March 1st, 2020. However much money between March 1st, 2020 and March 1st, 2021, however much money you literally transferred from your bank account to player bank accounts in that 365-day period, okay, that's the salary cap right there. There's a certain number you're not allowed to go over. And you can do whatever you want outside of that, but there's your number. But at least this way, it gives teams more options. It gives us more to talk about and things like that. But Tom Brady's a perfect example. I mean, when they signed Tom Brady, 2-year contract, so he'd be playing into the final year of his contract in 2021. Obviously, we just won the Super Bowl, and Tom Brady physically looks just fine. So that's a natural. He'll probably be extended. I would imagine that is something that's coming and some sort of restructure of the deal that goes beyond just 2021. Now, is there risk in that? Of course there's risk in that. You know, Tom Brady, like I just said, won the Super Bowl and not just won the Super Bowl, but looked awesome doing it. I mean, it wasn't like he was Peyton Manning with the Broncos where you could tell he was pretty much on his last legs and the defense did most of the work. You know, Tom Brady was an incredibly valuable player all season long. Not just a game manager, not just a guy hanging on. He looks great, but he is still 43. And at any time, and hey, listen, I'm a believer, okay? Alex Guerrero, TB12, all that stuff. But at any time, it could happen where it happens quick, especially as you age, where we're all like, oop, yep, I think he's done. I mean, I've been saying that for several years now, even before the Bucks got Brady, it still hasn't happened. So, who knows? But, I mean, eventually that can and will happen, and when it does, it may not have a slow build-up that you can then prepare for. It may be like, all of a sudden, yeah, okay, yeah, he's definitely too old now. And, first of all, if that does happen, by the way, it still already has been worth it. I mean, the Bucks won the Super Bowl. That's the whole point of all this. Like, even if this, you know, they give him another year and they pay him a little more money than they should have because he ends up not being able to play much longer than this year. And let's say it doesn't work out you know, people think he's going to play till 50. Let's say he really does peter out here in the next year or two after they just gave him more money. Still worth it, okay? Not at all complaining. And the whole point of doing this isn't just to lock up the player, but it gives you, again, like I said, the ability to prorate some of this money over multiple seasons. Those future seasons are seasons where your cap situation is not as dire as the current one. So you say, oh, you're just kicking the can down the road. Well, yeah, but the road gets a lot wider, you know? So if I'm kicking the can down the road and the road's really eeny-beety narrow in 2021, but in 2023 that road widens up, then yeah, kick it, you know? We'll go kick it again later and it'll be fine. So again, they won. They won the Super Bowl like that. And the Bucs are in great position, in my opinion, to keep on being competitive. But even if this was going to bite them in the ass, we couldn't complain because this is the whole point. Like, everything that we just went through the past season, and specifically the past 2 months, right, was the whole point of why you listen to this podcast, why you even go to log on joebucksfan.com. It's because we want the Bucs to win the Super Bowl. So that's one thing they can do. And it's one thing they probably will do. And the same thing applies to a couple of guys. I know you could add Jason Pierre-Paul. You can add to his deal. He's 32. Both he and Brady having minor knee surgeries, by the way, planned knee surgeries to clean some things up and do it now in the offseason and have themselves be ready to get back and go during training camp. And there's other things the Buccaneers can do as well. And if you look at, for example, the tight end situation, this is something Greg Allman for The Athletic wrote a piece saying, here's a few things the Bucs can do to kind of help mitigate their cap situation. You know, one was the tight ends. You've got O.J. Howard, who will be back now after missing almost all of last season when he got hurt early in the year. You've got Cam Brate. I'm assuming Gronkowski will be back, and he's not, like, out there fishing around. He wants to play here. So that's three potential tight ends that are over $6 million. O.J. Howard makes $6 million. Brate's due to make $6.5 million. And, of course, Gronkowski will get whatever he gets, which will be well over $6 million. So it's kind of hard to justify having three tight ends making that much money. On the other hand, it did come in handy this year because one of them got hurt. So you might have to make a little bit of a sacrifice there, especially, you know, we know the Bucs like to run two tight ends, and that's fine, but you figure Gronkowski's one, either Howard or Brate is the other one, and then you've got Auclair's the blocking tight end, and then you're still keeping, you can keep, basically you'd have Tanner Hudson be the number three tight end, instead of having Gronkowski, Howard, and Cam Brate. It'd be Gronkowski, either Howard or Brate, and Tanner Hudson. And Tanner Hudson ain't bad. He can make plays. And if that saves you, if that really is the difference, those few million, that's something you can do. And I, you know, I'd be fine with that. I'd hate to lose either one. It's a great luxury to have that much skill at the tight end position and be that deep there, but that's just what it is, a luxury. And that luxury paid off this year again because of what happened to Howard. And you never know who's going to get hurt or not get hurt. But there's one spot you can do something. And so, you know, you look around the roster, and same thing if they lost Antonio Brown. I liked Antonio Brown, what he did this year. He did a great job. He ended up being a valuable asset. He did not take away from the team in any way with his conduct off the field or in the locker room. That was a signing, you know, and we talked about it when it happened, and we were a little bit questioning of it. But it worked out exactly how the Bucs could have hoped it would. And he wasn't a super nutso deep threat or anything like that, but he made a few plays, and he made a few plays in the playoffs. He caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl, of course, and had some big plays, and it worked out. But if he's not there, assuming you have Godwin back, which they will, you know, someone like Tyler Johnson can step up. And I'm not saying Tyler Johnson is Antonio Brown. These are minor things, but again, that's something you can do where it's not the end of the world. And Bruce Arians even said, like, his priority, he said, get the defense taken care of, like, get that figured out, just take care of those guys. And they said, whatever's left, this was his quote, he said, whatever's left, we'll score enough points with that. So that's what they're thinking. And I don't disagree with that take at all. And you know, as far as Godwin goes, I mean, you can franchise him. I know no player wants to get franchised, but it's not a bad deal. I mean, if you're Godwin, and most of you probably know how the franchise tag works, but what it is basically is if someone's going to leave as a free agent, you can franchise tag them, which means they have to stay with you, but you have to pay them the average of the top five players at that position around the rest of the NFL. So for Godwin, what would that mean? Well, the franchise tag in 2021, let's go back, 2019, okay? Chris Godwin, $677,000. That was his salary in 2019. Got a bump in 2020 when they won the Super Bowl up to $2.1 million. So that's pretty good. You know, that pretty much tripled his salary. In 2021, with the franchise tag, for a wide receiver in the NFL, top five average, that would come in at $16.4 million. So he would come in going from $677K in 2019 to $2.1 million in 2020 to $16.4 million in 2021. And I know we just kind of throw these numbers around. They almost seem like Monopoly money. It's not our money, and we just talk about it in terms of fitting players under the cap. But think of real-life people making that kind of money. That's pretty good. And assuming Chris Godwin is even halfway decent again in 2021, he could still go cash in on another contract after that. But of course, with this franchise tag, there's a feeling of restriction. Like, well, hey, this just is what it is. I didn't even get to negotiate. I didn't have any choice. They locked me in. And even if it's really big money, which I mean, that's eight times as much as he made last year. And last year he made three times what he made the year before. It still feels to a lot of people, oh, well, you know, this guy got his hands tied behind his back. The Bucks were, the man is making them do their bidding for, you know, it's a pretty good deal. Now, Godwin has said, he's like, I'll play under the franchise tag. He did say he wants to get paid. Of course he wants to get paid. They all want to get paid. We all want to get paid. But the point is, he doesn't really want to leave. The Bucks don't really want him to leave. And I don't think he's going to leave. So there's a few, these are all things that can be done, and I'm not too worried about it. And, you know, we'll keep an eye on things as they approach. But the basic premise of what I'm saying, just like with the Lightning, just like with other teams around all sports, very rarely do you actually see these things come to pass where it's like, oh man, they just got destroyed by the cap, they couldn't recover. They'll figure it out. I'm not saying they'll be perfectly whole exactly like they were in 2020, this past season. But you don't necessarily want to be either. I mean, you always have a few changes here and there, and it could be for the better. I trust Drayson Light to get it done. And the other good part about it all, you know, one of my family members this week asked me about the draft, too. Say, hey, Bobby, what are their needs? I said, you know, if they take care of this stuff in free agency pretty well, the best part about it is, I mean, there's always a few needs, but they're not in a position where they have to draft a guy to play a position coming up in 2021 where, oh, I mean, like, it worked out, but we had in 2020 just now. We need to get this right tackle. Like, we're drafting our starting right tackle right now. We don't know who it is yet. Ended up being Tristan Wirfs, and it ended up being a great pick, and that's awesome. But the Bucks can really, truly just, whenever their turn comes to pick, if they stay at 32 or what have you, they can say, who's the best player right now? Not, oh God, they already took three defensive ends or three outside linebackers and we need one, so now we're taking the fourth guy on the board. They don't have to do that. They can if they want, but they don't. They can take, you know, who's the best value, who got overlooked a little bit, and who is somebody that they can say, hey, we'll take this guy. He doesn't have to be a Pro Bowler right now, but we'll take him, and it's going to work out fine if we like this guy. So that's something that's another bonus, and that's something that if they get their free agency stuff all in order, then they'll be able to have that luxury. So we'll see how it all unfolds. There's still some time, and like I said last week, the Bucks, if you just go by history, not much happens in February. There's been a couple times where they've cut players in February that they were getting off of contracts, but things will probably pick up more as we get into March here, which we are getting into, but you know, in the next couple weeks or something like that. If you want to email me, love hearing from you guys. The email address is the same as it's always been, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. That's BobbyGameday@yahoo.com. bobbygameday@yahoo.com. Same thing on Twitter. You can always follow me at @bobbygameday. Wanted to talk a little bit about the schedule. I actually got a couple of emails, people asking about the schedule this week, and the schedule, you know, it's funny, people are emailing me saying, Bobby, you know what the best part is? The Bucks won the Super Bowl, but the Saints are still the ones that have to play the first place schedule, and we don't, and oh my God, isn't that great? And I always say, with the schedule stuff, you know, there's 16 games, although there may very well be 17 games in 2021. That still hasn't been officially announced, but it also, I think, is pretty likely from what I've heard. So we'll call it 17 games. 17 games. Only three of them have anything to do with where you finish in the standings. And I say this, and that's not nothing. I mean, you know, divisions get decided by one, two games, something like that. So three games could be a difference, especially if yours are way easier. But I always say things change so much from year to year in the NFL anyway that you can't really tell. And this past year was a perfect example. I mean, the Bucs, as of right now, let's look ahead to 2021. Besides their 14 automatically assigned rotation games, they got three games determined by where they finish. The Saints, as the first place finisher in the NFC South, play first place, and we play the whole NFC East, so it doesn't matter anyway. But the Saints play the first place team in the NFC North and in the NFC West, so they get Green Bay and Seattle. We, as the second place finisher, instead get the Rams and the Bears. Well, guess what? First of all, we played the Rams and the Bears last year and lost to both of them. Second of all, we played Green Bay twice and went 2-0 against them. And third of all, who says the Rams aren't better than Seattle in 2021? I don't think the Bears will be better than Green Bay in 2021, but they weren't in 2020 either. And like I just said, we beat them or lost to them once and beat Green Bay twice. So you can't tell about any of this stuff. But yes, the Bucs do play the Rams and Bears instead of the Packers and Seahawks for whatever you think that's worth. And by the way, the Rams just picked up Matthew Stafford on top of everything else. And Seattle's sitting there, and we'll talk about this in a minute. Seattle's sitting there with a quarterback talking about teams he wants to play for, giving out lists, trying to say, oh yeah, I still want to play for him, but he gave out a list. And once you give out a list, that's out there. And then the 17th game is going to rotate amongst the other conference. So you play one division from the other conference every year. This year for the Bucs, I believe it's the AFC North coming up, right? If I'm not mistaken. I think. Or maybe it's the South. I can't remember. Anyway, whoever they play in the AFC, well, it's not the South because the South would be the extra 17th game, matched up again just like the other ones, depending on where you finish. So the Bucs would get number 2 in the AFC South. If they play a 17th game, that'd be the Colts instead of the Titans, who the Saints would get. Now, we don't know if that's home or road. They have it. I guess it'd all be AFC home, and then another year it'd all be NFC home, and it'd rotate like that. That hasn't been determined yet. But as far as the schedule goes, if they do add that 17th game, it'll be the Colts. And I don't think it's nearly as big of a deal as most people do. Although I do love looking at the schedules, and you can look, you know, 20 years down the road, assuming they keep this rotation the way it is, and see who the Bucs play for 14 of the 16 games or 14 of the 17 games. And it's just those two or three that are going to rotate. Speaking of Russell Wilson, so what I was saying, you know, if you hadn't heard Russell Wilson, there was some stuff brewing there. You know, we've already seen Deshaun Watson, again, flatly state, I am not playing for the Houston Texans anymore, period. And he even met with their new head coach, whose name I can barely remember. I think it's David Cullen. And I don't think it's anything with him, but Watson said, look, man, I'm not playing for Houston. Y'all can make me sit out a year. Y'all can dig in whatever you want. You can cut off your nose to spite your face. I'm not playing for you. Russell Wilson hasn't gone that far. But there was reports about what he was unhappy about, and a lot of it had to do with Pete Carroll. You know, well, first of all, Pete Carroll kind of clamping down on him after there were a few turnovers and just kind of having a short leash instead of quote-unquote letting Russ cook, as the saying goes. There was apparently some strife about Pete Carroll, and I guess one of his sons is a position coach for the Seahawks, and then there was some drama with him being unhappy, the son, and then he left the team and came back, and Wilson reportedly felt like the Carrolls just do whatever they want and aren't accountable to anybody. First of all, you know, my first thought was, my God, you know, these head coaches, and you see this so often, you saw it with the Chiefs with Andy Reid, and they got into trouble with his son having issues with the car accident and all that. There's been a few others. I remember on Hard Knocks, Jeff Fisher's kid was a position coach. I can't remember what, although he didn't have any problems. Now we're hearing about Carroll's kid. What is it with these NFL head coaches and their kids as position coaches? And I was like kind of rolling my eyes, and then I stopped and I thought about it, because I always try and put myself in other people's shoes. And you know what? If I was an NFL head coach, my son would be a position coach for sure. I'd be like, yep, you're coaching. We'll get you to, we'll figure it out. And if my dad was an NFL head coach, I'd probably go try and coach for him too. You know, I get it. Okay, so I get it. But it would have to be as long as in no way did it come at the expense of the team. And if I was the Seattle Seahawks right now, and I'm hearing about all this strife, Like I said, Pete Carroll, I'd let him go well before I'd let Russell Wilson go. I mean, you cannot... Quarterbacks, that's the whole thing. Look at the Super Bowls, okay? And this one's no exception. Look at all the past Super Bowls we've just been through over the past 20 years. I think I read that like 15 of the 20 Super Bowls the past 20 years have been won by quarterbacks who are either now in the Hall of Fame or going to the Hall of Fame, like Tom Brady, like Peyton Manning, on and on and on. So that's not something to be trifled with. And so if I'm Houston, there's nothing they can do. It's too late for them with Deshaun Watson. If I'm Seattle, you know, I figure it out. And if even I don't think they're at the point that Watson's at with Houston where they can't reconcile this. But if you have a guy and you're pretty sure he's the guy, and there's like 7 or 8 of them in the league, maybe less, where it's like, yes, we're riding with this guy. We don't even think about quarterback when we go to sleep at night. It's a very enviable position to be in. Not many NFL teams are in it. If you're in that position, you maintain that position. You do not let a quarterback like Russell Wilson leave, even if it means you had to let Pete Carroll go. I wouldn't even think twice when faced with that either or. And again, I don't think it'll come to that. And Wilson did say, hey, I don't want to trade. But he said, if y'all are thinking about it, I just happen to have a list right here. And he, you know, unfurled his little piece of paper. He's like, since you brought it up, and I don't want to leave you, but yeah, here's some teams I think are pretty. It'd be like with your wife. No, honey, we're cool. I mean, if you're thinking about separating, I do have a few girls I would love to bang. Man, would really. No, seriously, forget I said that. I want to stay with you. Like, that's what it kind of sounds like with Russell Wilson. But the list is the Cowboys, the Saints, the Raiders, and the Bears. That's the four teams. Which I thought was cool because I checked it. Not that I needed to check it. I know it already. But those four teams have combined for one Super Bowl in the last 25 years, whereas your Tampa Bay Buccaneers have combined for two, which was pretty cool. So we'll keep an eye on that whole thing. You know, the quarterback situation in the NFL right now is very fluid. There's a potential for a lot of change at the quarterback position. We've already seen Matthew Stafford to L.A., Jared Goff to Detroit. We still don't know who's going to be the quarterback in New England, for example, or in Carolina in our own division. You know, New Orleans, obviously, they are on that list of Russell Wilson potentials, but I don't think that's going to happen. But are they going to stay with Jameis? Are they going to draft someone? Are they going to go get someone? There's a lot to play out. So it's going to be interesting to watch all of that unfold over the coming weeks, all the way through the draft. And we'll be covering all of it right here on the Free Stretch. Until then, for now, thanks to all of you for joining us. Just like always, I appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to the show. I hope you've enjoyed it. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to the Joes, of course, who run the single best place, internet, TV, radio, anywhere for Bucks coverage. And they let me come on this platform every week. I'm always grateful for it, for getting me in front of all of you. Have a great weekend. Be safe. The weather is beautiful, although it's getting a little warmer. We're looking at some record potential highs in the next couple days, at least if you're in the Bay Area. But record highs are always better than record lows, in my opinion. Hit the pool, hit the beach, it'll be fine. It's a gorgeous time of year around here. And until then, I will be back next week. So like I said, take it easy. Enjoy everything else going on around you and wherever you are. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.